instead of the theme music, trash it, and we're going to start the podcast like old school 2000 rappers start their rap songs with just a lighter flick. Some content may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion advised.
Welcome back.
It's a podcast in a basement.
We are in the basement.
We're in it.
Today it's just us. Sometimes we have other people, and I guess we do have one animal.
We
in
do.
The room.
Yep.
So Sierra and Colin. I'm Sierra.
And I'm Colin.
And Pancake the dog is in the room with
us today.
He's
my dog, Pancake.
But that's it.
You'll hear tippy-tapping around, maybe a little growl here and there. Annabelle, our peanut gallery, is not here. We are testing our codependency once again. And
testing.
Yeah, we're testing our codependency to see what level it's at right now. But I'm gonna tell you it's a very high level of codependency right now, considering she texted me and said, "When are you coming home today?" when I was at work. And she had literally told me yesterday that she wasn't going to be here when I got home from work.
Ah, love that. That's good.
It's just, good. It's too much.
I do like Sierra actually asked me to hang out.
It's not because Annabelle was going to be here or wasn't going to be here. It was because I was listening to one of the episodes for edit marks. And I had just gotten off of the floor, so I wasn't caregiving anymore. So I was doing my real job.
She had just climbed up onto her feet.
And
she was sitting on the floor in the
fetal position. Okay, I work at a senior living place. I was caregiving from 6 fucking M to 10 a fucking M, and my body was screaming at me, and I was so tired. And then I got relieved of my caregiving duties, so I was able to do my activities director job. And so I started doing my activities director job, and I was listening to one of our episodes, and I was like, man, now I'm having a good time.
Aww.
And I don't want to hang out with Colin.
Aww.
Colin's not a fair weather friend. That's not what I'm saying. Hang on a second. Wait a second.
Yeah, so, you keep digging that hole. Sierra's a really bad digger. Mm-hmm. Don't hire her for grave digging. Go to Jeremy.
Yep, go to Jeremy. And if you don't know who Jeremy is,
listen to the episode.
Go find out. So just look for the name Jeremy.
Yep.
I literally could not tell you what episode number it is. I barely know what episode number this is.
I only remember because the folder had 71 in it. So I know that we either skipped one somewhere or 72 is the next
one.
We
lost something somewhere. I literally put 72 with two question marks.
It is 72. At least that's what I'm going with. So we've socially constructed the reality that this is episode 72. If it comes out and it's actually 75, we're sorry. We're fucked and sorry.
I don't know how we're going to keep up this lie, man. This thing goes all the way to the top. Okay, buckle, binkle, bankle, bunkle up.
That was a struggle.
Great.
I could not find the
also,
hole.
Also, everyone, get your worms. Get them out.
Get them out.
Get them out. Plug them in. Soup them up.
Lucky for you, I'm all worms today.
Strap them in. I've been... Scorpio season ended, and I am a worm. I'm a worm.
You're Heidi Klum.
I am Heidi Klum right now. Heidi That's Klum hilarious. In the realistic worm costume is how I feel. It's how I feel like I'm physically presenting to everyone else. That's how I feel when I look at myself in the mirror. I say, that's a worm. That's Heidi Klum in a worm costume. So stupid.
Hi, Heidi.
Oh, God. Okay.
How we doing today, German supermodel?
Okay, do we have our seatbelts on?
Yes.
Do we have our worms?
Yes.
Are they plugged in? Do you have your exit buddy? Okay,
yes,
great.
Sure. Because
we're getting in the time machine, and we're going back to 1899.
Holy shit.
1899. 1899. Well, why? Why? Why are we going back there? Because there's a war. Duh. Why else would we be going back in time?
We love war.
War. Where is
it's
it?
It's what's for dinner.
War. It's what's for dinner. Where is the war at, Colin? You might be speculating. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, Australia. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Africa. Oh. I was singing Africa by Toto.
Yeah. Sorry. I spun the globe and I...
He said, that one.
That one.
That one starts with an A. No, we're going to Africa. Dun, 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 dun.
What part of Africa? Africa's pretty fucking big, if you didn't know.
Okay, we're going to South Africa.
Ah, okay? The South one.
This war is called the Boer War. B-O-E-R-W-A-R. Boer War. Okay? Boer War. What's a Boer, you might be wondering. A Boer is a descendant of Dutch colonists who lived on rough frontiers of colonial society in modern-day South Africa. It's the colonizers that didn't do very well.
Cowboys.
Yeah, colonist cowboys, but dirty and rough and rugged, and if they had jeeps, they would drive them, you know?
Yeah.
4x4s. Yeah. So they're thought of as hardy, self-reliant, and like super independent. So this war was between the Boers and the British.
What the fuck?
We'll get to it. So it was two independent Boer republics. So it was like two different states, but they were all Boers and they all had their own fucking thing going on.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It was made up of the South African Republic. That was one of the republics. And the Orange Free State. That's what it was called. So they were Boers. And then the British was already in.
Not the Watermelon Free State. The Orange Free State.
So there was a long-standing beef between the British and the Boers, and Britain wanted to colonize more of South Africa because of newly discovered gold and diamond deposits, and the Boers were like, hey, fuck off.
Fuck off.
Literally fuck off.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yep.
I would feel the same way if I were a Boer. Pancake, yep. I'm begging you.
So it's just this colonist war in...
South Africa in 1899.
Because...
They just want gold and diamonds.
Fuck colonists.
Yeah.
Like.
Fuck white people. I'm saying it. I'll say it again.
It's not yours.
Right.
And it's also not the people that you're fighting's.
But it like could be. I don't know. Okay. So there are a couple guys I want to talk about.
Okay.
That are involved in this war. Okay. First guy's name is Frederick Russell Burnham. During his teenage years, this was before the war, in the 1870s, Burnham tracked the Apache Native Americans in the Arizona Territory. Okay. So he was like a tracker, right? One time, he ran 22 miles over rugged terrain to deliver a message, and he got there before a dude on a horse who had left at the same fucking time.
So this is the United or North America.
Yes. It's a guy that lives in North America.
Okay.
Sorry. He was born in like fucking Milwaukee or something stupid. It's somewhere nice. Dumb that okay. Milwaukee, dumb. No, he was born in the U.S., but we're mostly talking about most of his adulthood. So American guy. We're in America. His name is Frederick Russell Burnham. Okay. He's a psychopath. How can he run faster than a horse over 22 miles over rugged terrain?
It was a sawhorse.
Just rocking back and forth. Oh, no, it's a rocking horse. Like the little kid ones?
I was saying a sawhorse. But yeah, a rocking horse rocking would be horse. Equally funny.
He's just like hopping on it. So he also, while he was in the Southwest, so the Arizona area, he discovered enough gold.
How fast do carousels go?
Hang on.
Just curious.
Hang on.
Could one theoretically run faster than a carousel?
Yeah. They're not that fast. What do you think they're doing? Whipping them kids around? Then
that.
It's not a death ride, Colin. It's a fun little carnival thing. Are you really?
Oh, somebody searched this before. I put, how fast do C-A-R.
Car. And
second result, how fast do carousels go?
Because your phone heard you. Everybody's listening all the time. I don't think you can measure it in miles per hour.
Holy shit. Yes, you can.
You can?
You can.
All right, go ahead.
So from beaconjournal.com.
Oh, boy.
Talking about Northeast Ohio's classic rides. I don't know where exactly this is.
Rock and roll.
Merry-go-round museum. So Unlike most carousels that spin at a leisurely 3 mile per hour, which is like walking pace, essentially. Yeah. So you could definitely beat that.
A regular legged human.
You think or I walk, rolling pace if you're in a wheelchair.
You think I walk 3 miles an hour with these stubby ass legs?
3 miles an hour is pretty average. I bet you walk like 5 miles an hour fast.
At work.
I see those legs go quick.
Just running everywhere.
Exactly. The merry-go-round museum's ride platform spins at a brisk 9 miles per hour. So I would say that, yes, you can run faster than almost every merry-go-round on the planet.
Right. If you cut a merry-go-round in half, right, and then you laid it out flat on a piece of paper and then started it and you had to run alongside it, you could probably go faster than it.
You do realize that you can run in circles around the merry-go-round.
Yeah, but like, that's so much work.
And that is a longer distance.
Going around?
Yeah. Your circumference is bigger than the horse's circumference.
Right. That's what I was actually saying.
Yes.
Because I know stuff about math. For sure. That's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you. Anyways, let's keep fucking... Two paragraphs in, bitch. Okay, so he also rode through an enemy camp of several thousand warriors in Rhodesia and escaped under the cover of night. And he did all of that before he was 30 fucking five.
It doesn't sound like a lot. You mentioned like two things.
Our boy Burnham. I didn't mention two things. I said during his teenage years, he tracked the Apache Native Americans in the Arizona Territory, and then he ran 22 miles over rugged terrain, and then he discovered enough gold in the Southwest to make him rich, and then he joined... Oh, I forgot that part.
I was like...
Okay, he discovered enough gold in the Southwest to make him rich, and then he joined...
Did he steal it?
It was during the gold rush, Colin.
Oh. I missed that. Yeah. I thought you meant he, like, discovered, like, a chest full of gold.
Just a little treasure chest.
Or he, like, robbed a town of its gold or some shit.
No, he, like, discovered the gold in the gold rush.
Did he steal it?
And then he joined the Yukon gold rush. And then he rode through an enemy camp of several thousand warriors in Rhodesia and escaped under the cover of night. All before 35.
Love that.
So we're just doing stuff out here, Mr. Burnham.
Nice. Where's Rhodesia?
Why would you ask me that?
I don't know, because I don't know.
I don't know either.
Should we find out?
It sounds good, though. Rhodesia.
Rhodesian Ridgeback. Rhode Island.
That's a dog.
That is.
So is John Travolta. Pitbull eyes. John Travolta.
Oh, South Africa was a state.
Oh, great. That's exactly what we're talking
South
about.
In South Africa. It's equivalent in territory to modern Zimbabwe.
Okay.
So Zimbabwe today.
Okay. Got it. So he did all that before he was 35. Pretty cool guy, right? No, he's racist.
Of course.
As they always are. And he left his wife and kids at home a lot just to go to war and like tramps around the United States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds like
a white guy.
A lot of people we've talked about on this podcast.
So speaking of war and other stuff, Mr. Burnham here was the chief scout to the British forces engaged in the Boer War.
Ah.
Okay. So he's working for the Brits during the Boer War. Okay. And he's the chief scout. So he's basically like
the, not the scout chief.
He's the chief scout.
Not the Boy Scout chief.
Not the Boy Scout chief. The chief scout, which is like basically like chief spy.
Right.
Yeah. We're infiltrating. We're getting info. We're infiltrating the information, you know?
Information.
So he spent much of his time, obviously, as I just said, infiltrating Boer like camps and gathering a bunch of information. And he was also blowing up railway bridges and tracks.
Fuck yeah.
So Buster Keaton.
Like our legend.
Buster Hyman would be so fucking proud of him, honestly.
So proud.
But during this war, he meets a man.
A man.
And this man.
And they fall in love.
They do not fall in love. Absolutely not. This man eventually becomes his arch nemesis.
Ah.
And this man goes by Le Black Panther. And it's not the movie. It's the Black Panther. He goes by the Black Panther.
You mean the Pink Panther?
No, the Black Panther.
Oh, yeah, that's also a movie. And it's not... It's not the civil rights group either.
Mm-mm. No, it's not the Black Panthers. It's the Black Panther.
Is he black?
We'll get to it. Okay. So I don't know if I'm like 200,000% positive that this has nothing to do with the Marvel movie, The Black Panther. R.I.P. Chadwick Boseman. I love that man. But the Black Panther served as a spy or a scout for the Boer side of the war. Okay. So these two spies are meeting each other, little spy meet and greet, right?
Yeah.
And while he's fighting in the Boer War, the Black Panther, he gets captured by the British in December of 1899. Okay. What happens next? What happens next, Colin? He gets captured by the British. He escapes. He escapes prison or jail or whatever he was in. He gets out.
He digs a little hole with a little plastic spoon from the jail cell.
Colin, I don't know. You're going to understand a lot in a second. So he escapes. And then he returns to war, participates in a gold-stealing scheme, gets away with it by hiding it in a cave, returns to war again, and then gets captured by the Portuguese.
Okay.
So the Portuguese throw him in jail, but guess what?
He gets out
again. He escapes.
Ah.
Okay, so we're just a slippery little bitch.
We're just going to war, leaving war.
We are covered in canola oil. Pam everywhere. Pam everywhere. He's just a little rascal.
Yeah.
So why do we care about the Black Panther? Why do we care about these two dudes? Well, let me tell you a little bit more about the Black Panther. Okay? Let me tell you. Okay. He's a guy. That's it. Thanks for listening. So his real name is Fritz Duquesne. Would you like to know how Duquesne is spelled?
Can I guess?
Would you like to guess how Duquesne is spelled?
D-U-C-A-I-N-E.
D-U-Q... U-E-S-N-E.
Ah, so he's French, and they don't actually use real words there.
Really?
Real letters.
Yeah, well...
They use pretend alphabet.
He's not French. We'll get into his background in a little bit.
Okay.
Okay? So, hard facts about this dude's life is really hard to find unless it is documented by Burnham, by Frederick Burnham. So, Duquesne was a really good hunter because he grew up hunting with his dad.
Okay.
In Africa. Okay, so he grew up as a...
So he knows...
Yeah, he
knows what's going on.
Yeah, he knows the terrain of Africa, and he knows...
He knows an antelope when he sees one.
Right. He says that, that's a giraffe. Welcome to Africa. Flips him off. So he learned hunting from his father as a child, and he became fascinated with panthers.
Okay.
While he was out hunting with his dad, he apparently saw a panther like track and hunt and kill its prey. And he liked the method of how the panther like went about it, I guess.
Gotcha.
Sneaky little guy. So he kills his first man at the age of 12.
Okay.
So we are just.
In the war or was it murder?
Was murder having something to do with his mother. It doesn't, the details of this, he didn't kill his mom.
Okay. No.
It was
a your mom joke. Somebody told him a your mom joke and he's like, bang.
He got fucking pissed. He was like, how dare you? That's my mom. No, someone did something bad to his mom. So he killed that someone at the age of 12.
Yeah, they made a your mom joke.
Right. So let's go back to the Boer War. We have a little bit of background about Duquesne. We'll get more in a bit. Duquesne... He joins the Boer War as a Boer spy, right? And then he travels to Britain, steals a random officer's identity, and joins the British Army in the Boer War as a spy.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So his unit was sent to South Africa and marched through his hometown of Nylstroom. Nylstroom. I don't know. So he discovers while he's undercover as this British officer that his parents' farm in his hometown was destroyed. His sister was murdered and R-worded.
Ah.
Yikes. And then his mother was sent to a British concentration camp. So the Black Panther officially hates England. Fuck England.
Yeah.
Fuck Britain.
So I'm getting the feeling that this is not a black man. And I thought himself Black Panther might be a...
No. So remember who the Boers actually are? They're descendants of Dutch colonists.
Right. Oh, yeah. So he's white. He's
so white.
He's vanilla.
So white. Anyways, so the Black Panther officially hates England. And we are...
the white Black Panther.
Yeah, but we're still going to spy on Britain from the inside, okay? So he goes back to Cape Town, Africa, where he was, you know, hanging out for the... or where the Brits were hanging out. And he recruits 20 Boers, like, in the area, for the assassination attempt of British Chief of Staff Lord Kitchener. Kitchener. I hardly know her. Who was literally responsible for, like, so much death during the Boer War. All the kitchens. War. But, yeah, he was responsible for destroying everyone's kitchen in the Boer War. No kitchen left behind. Actually, all the kitchens left behind. But, no, he was responsible for, like, a lot of deaths in the Boer War. But we're not going to get into it. It's not about him. Anyways, the plan doesn't follow through, this whole assassination plan, because they were betrayed by the wife of one of the recruits.
Ah.
So Duquesne's like, let's go kill this guy. And one of the recruits is like, hey, honey, guess what we're going to do tomorrow? Go kill that guy. And she's like, hey, my husband and all of his weird friends are going to go kill that guy. She ratted on him. She snitched on him.
To the Brits?
To the Brits.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Fucked up, dude. Anyways, so they find all this out and... Fritz Duquesne, the Black Panther, gets arrested. The Cracker Panther, the Caucasian Panther, gets arrested for being an identity liar. That's what I'm calling it. In the middle of, like, a nice dinner for some governor, okay? And he's...
How do they not tell? Because I imagine if you grow up as a Boer, your accent's going to be different than a Brit's accent. Maybe not.
I have a feeling not. Just speculating. Not. Or maybe he's really good at accents.
Ah, unlike us. Unlike us. We wouldn't know.
I literally have no idea. So he gets arrested during dinner, during this, like, governor's dinner or whatever, and he's sentenced to be shot. Like, let's fucking shoot this guy right now. You know, no judge, jury, prosecutioner. Just pop one real quick. So he begs for his life. Duquesne begs for his life, offering to divulge secret Boer communication codes in exchange. Okay, so he's like, if you let me live, I'll tell you what the Boers are talking about when they talk in their little code.
My God.
And so the Brits are like, okay, sounds good to me, or whatever. And at one point, this is just like a little side quest, just a little one. He had escaped jail in Lisbon because he seduced one of his jailer's daughters. So he's just out here.
He's slimy, covered in Pam.
He's, covered in Pam everywhere.
He's an oily cracker.
So while he was imprisoned by the British and he had, like, begged for his life with the Boer communication codes, he was actually lying and he was telling the British a bunch of bullshit.
Vloogloo means fuck off.
They're actually going to get lunch later at 12:30. That's what they just said.
Yeah.
In the code. Thanks for asking. So he used an iron spoon. This is why I was freaking out earlier. He used an iron spoon to dig away the cement in his cell, fucked it up, and got pinned down by part of the wall.
Oh my gosh.
While he was trying to escape British prison in Africa and got stuck and then passed out. Because he had a bunch of cement all over him. And then a guard found him the next morning. Okay? And then he gets sent to the British colony of Bermuda in the Atlantic because it was believed to be inescapable due to its stormy weather, shark-infested waters, and dangerous reefs. It's like Alcatraz.
Yeah, you know? Except a lot farther away.
But guess what?
What?
Guess what he does?
He escapes.
He escapes! He's so slippy. So this was in June 1902. He climbed a barbed wire fence, swam 1.5 miles.
It's just wire covered in people named Barbara.
Barbara Streisand.
I don't know any other Barbaras.
Barbara, who's that one news anchor lady? Barbara.
You lost Smith. Me at Barbara.
So he climbs a barbed wire fence. God. Basement, man. It fucks me up. He climbs a barbed wire fence, swims 1.5 miles past patrol boats and spotlights, and finds a couple local Boer sympathizers and just escapes.
Okay? Tight. You okay? Go, girl.
Okay. So what?
You go, Cracker.
So what do Kane and Burnham have in common? Right, we're both fighting in the same war. We both have the same position.
Yeah.
You know, we're eventually going to be arch nemesis, because that's what I told you earlier.
Yeah.
So they were both very infamous in their own little cultural circles.
Right.
For being so good at what they did. They were really good spies. They were really good.
They're both slippery.
Scouts. They're both just slippery both little shits.
Kids of the Pam.
Yeah. So.
Children of the Pam.
Like Burnham at one point, this is also another reason why I was freaking out. Burnham starts the Boy Scouts of America, Colin.
You're fucking kidding me.
I'm not fucking kidding you. So when you said that earlier, I was like, did this man read my script? Does he know about this? He found, we're going to get to it.
At least once a week, I get an ad for, were you sexually abused by the Boy Scouts of America?
Fucking God. Were you?
No. Okay. It's either that or, were you sexually abused by a clergy member? Like, I get those very often. It's either that or, like, jeez, ads for, like, hormone therapy.
Like, oh my God, your targeted ads are targeted.
They're like, we know you're gay.
Your targeted ads are almost hate crimes.
They almost might be. I think
it smells a little hate crimey to me. So anyways, Duquesne and Burnham knew about each other, right?
Yeah.
They were like, we're both the top spy bitches in our little gangs. So Duquesne was spending most of his time in the war trying to kill Burnham. And Burnham was ordered to kill Duquesne. So we got a little, you kill him, no, you kill him.
Yeah.
Trying to kill each other type deal. Burnham called Duquesne the human epitome of sin and deception.
Ah.
And at one point, Duquesne, quote, tossed coins with a brother scout for the privilege, unquote, of having the first shot at Burnham. So these dudes were beefing. I love beef and war. It's what's for dinner. War beef. Beef war. So, here's a little whiplash warning. We're going to America.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Get in the fucking plane. We're going. It's going to be a long, long flight. So, this is early 1900s, between 1902 and 1906-ish. America is in the middle of a drastic fucking meat shortage.
Ah.
All right? We have no meat.
Ah.
Arby's.
Who's we got have, the meat? We Arby's, have no meat.
Arby's. We have no meat. So this is when I would ask Alexa to play The Lion Sleeps tonight, because we're going to be talking about the book The Jungle.
Okay.
Do you, have you read it?
No.
Okay. I had to didn't read
Noah's book. His book. Is it The Jungle Book you mean? No, did you mean?
No, it's not the Jungle
Google
Book.
Google recommendations. Did you mean the Jungle Book?
It is not the Jungle
featuring a kid
and a bear.
A bear.
It is not the Disney movie The Jungle Book. It is the book The Jungle by, what the fuck is his name? Something stupid. It was something stupid. I have to look it up really quick. Upton Sinclair.
Oh, I was confused because I got Rudyard Kipling, but that's because I have The Jungle Book as my recommended search.
Okay, so The Jungle by Upton Sinclair was something that I had to read in high school. Gotcha. My junior year of high school. It was just like my English class or whatever. That book was fucking crazy because it's a novel, but it's literally based on the meatpacking industry in the early 1900s.
Gotcha.
It was about the harsh conditions of meatpacking facilities and being an immigrant living in industrialized cities.
The Jungle.
The Jungle. It was literally about, like, first of all, being an immigrant. Second of all, industrialization. Third of all, meatpacking plants, where literally rats and people would just fall into these machines. And there would be, like, literally shit everywhere. Horrible all the time, just in these meatpacking plants. And I was reading that shit at 16. For what? To feel icky? Because I do. So this made the meatpacking industry look really ugly to the American people. So we're in a little bit of a meat crisis here. Okay? Arby's. We don't have the meats. And we've already colonized all of America. Okay? We have...
Wait. So the meat shortage, was that because of The Jungle, the book?
In part. Yeah.
That's interesting, because it's interesting that a book would have that much
impact.
Of a cultural impact that you have a meat shortage mm-hmm. rather than a meat surplus.
We also, like, we were overgrazing our cattle and we were running out of room to graze our cattle.
Right.
And so we didn't have enough room, quote unquote, to have more cattle because we didn't have any grass because we were already feeding the cows that we had too much. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we didn't have enough room. We had already colonized all of America. The Jungle just came out on DVD, Blu-ray.
Yeah, we've already colonized all of America.
Right.
None of this makes sense. I mean, it kind of makes sense. It's just poor planning.
Right. Like, maybe...
Like, we grew... I mean, the amount of meat we're pumping out now, mm-hmm. or like, I don't know.
Right. Well, this was before the meat packing industry was, like, industrialized.
Yeah.
This was before industrialization hit the meatpacking industry.
Gotcha.
So it was like just starting to...
Gotcha.
Almost.
People hadn't put one and one together.
Yeah, no. They were like, we know how to industrialize, but we don't know how to industrialize the thing that we want to industrialize. Yeah. You know? So we didn't have any more room for the cows and sheep and pigs and shit to be able to roam around. So we were eating them faster than they were eating the grass.
Right.
In America. So there was also an unceasing wave of immigrants coming to America at the time and these booming industrial cities. So we had more people than we did meat.
Right.
Hence meat shortage. So the number of cows in the country had been dropping by millions a year.
Ah, wow.
Yeah. Big ol' meat shortage. So how do we fix it?
We call in.
We're going to eat a different kind of meat.
Beyond burgers.
Not Beyond Burgers. I will give you two more guesses as to what we are eating.
Chimkin.
Not chimkin. We buffalo? Don't have enough room for the chimkin. No buffalo.
Human.
Not. He got so scared. No. So, we're going to eat hippos.
What the fuck?
We're going to eat hippos.
How?
We're going to eat hippos.
How do you keep hippos?
Okay, here's
hippos
the deal.
Hippos are hard to keep.
Here's the deal, Colin. Hippos don't need nice, wide open grasslands to survive, right?
Right.
All they need is a fucking swamp or a bayou, right? Guess where we have a lot of that? Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama. Bayou. We got down in a bayou.
Do they have
domesticated hippos?
No.
Little guy.
I'm saying, like, are hippos actually in the Americas? I thought they were only in...
We'll get to it. Okay. We'll get to it. So, get some hippos, stick them in the middle of a swamp, because nobody's going to develop, like, no one's going to live on a swamp, in a swamp. You know what
Except
I mean?
Except for, like, alligators.
Except for, like, alligators and hippos. We're going to have hippo meat. Hippo steak... Thanksgiving dinner.
My hippocampus is shot.
So at the same time, in the south of the United States, there was also a problem with the invasive water hyacinth plant. Okay. And there still is a problem with this invasive water hyacinth. Okay?
Okay.
But that's okay. Because guess who has the best fucking idea ever? Because he traveled to Africa.
Not La Kwame Kwam, but the other guy?
Burnham. Burnham has an idea.
I meant Du Kwame Kwam. I can't remember his name.
Not Duquesne.
Thank you.
Du Kwame Kwam.
I knew it
Burnham.
Was.
So Burnham has an idea. We get the hippos. We put them in the swamp. We let them eat the hyacinths.
Okay.
And then we can eat the hippos. It's a win-win.
Genius. I feel like there's some missing pieces because from my understanding, he's not an ecologist at all.
There are no missing pieces whatsoever, Colin. This man who invented the fucking Boy Scout said, we need to eat hippos and we need to eat them.
I forgot about that. No.
Did you know that? Okay, I guess you wouldn't know because you don't know who this man is. But they also based the Indiana Jones stuff off of Burnham.
No, they... No, Sierra Leone. No,
I've been waiting for an episode that's gonna break your brain, and I finally think I got one.
No. So this guy mm-hmm. that doesn't understand ecology at all.
Yeah, but he's a little Boy Scout
from Milwaukee
or something,
and he can run really fast. He's like, oh, we have a cow shortage. You know what we should do? Bigger cows that can live in water.
More dangerous cows.
More dangerous cows. Aggressive cows. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being a hippo cowboy? Somebody that has to handle the... Because hippos are hard to deal with.
Gotta go down to the hippo ranch. How do you get them on a
truck?
They're huge.
How do you get them to
slaughter? They weigh like, so much.
It would be so hard.
Yeah.
You'd have to have sharper knives, heavier things.
A bigger boat.
Bigger trucks. A boat. Do they put them on a boat?
I don't know.
The boat would sink.
I don't know, Colin.
That's how the Titanic went down.
There's hippos on the Titanic. They were eating hippo steaks on the Titanic. Oh my God. It all connects.
But
what... And then a hippo hit the towers.
Queen Elizabeth II is inside a hippo with rosin.
A lead-cased hippo. No, this is too deep. This is too deep. This bit has gone too far.
No, I don't get it. I refuse. I refuse. You're telling me that in fucking Louisiana.
We gotta write his name in the Burnham book.
There's just hippos. Okay, where did the hippos come from?
We will get there, sis. You are getting worked up, and I have plenty more information for you, baby. Don't worry about it, okay?
We'll see how far you get through this episode.
Before I get eaten by a hippo. Anyways, so fast forward a little bit. It's now 1910. Okay.
Okay.
Burnham writes a book called Transplanting African Animals, which was published in New York's Independent Magazine in January of that year.
Because transplanting animals
has
always been a good idea.
Yep. We'll get to his reasoning a little later, okay? So, after he publishes this book, he was invited to share his ideas.
This man didn't know two words, and they were invasive and species.
So he gets invited, after he publishes his book, to share his ideas in a hearing before...
At a comedy club?
No, before the House Committee of Agriculture.
Okay.
So the United States government.
Yeah.
People in the government wanted to hear this guy talk about how we need to eat hippos. And that's where we meet our third player in this game.
No, there's right. more.
Okay. Louisiana Congressman Robert Broussard. Okay.
Okay.
So let's talk about a little Bill.
Clinton.
A little Bill Clinton. He's big. Nope. Robert Broussard. Here's Burnham's little presentation on his little book or whatever. And he's like, this is so smart.
No.
And I need to get this man to do this for me now.
No, no, no.
So you know what I'm going to do because I'm a congressman? I'm going to introduce a little bill, Clinton. A hippo bill. Not HIPAA. Not to be confused with HIPAA. But hippo. Okay. So they wanted, you're going to be so mad. They wanted $250,000, not now currency, but then currency, to import useful animals like hippos into the United States.
You said like hippos. What other animals are useful?
We'll get to it. So citizens of the U.S.
here. What I'm learning is don't ask questions.
Citizens of the U.S. hear about this hippo bill, and they start writing letters. This is fucking awesome. We can't wait to eat hippos. This is going to be the best. Like, seriously, people were behind having hippos brought in, internationally brought in, shipped in, Amazon Prime, two-day delivery of hippos so we can eat some fucking fatty hippo steaks.
Okay, has anyone ever had hippo yet? Do we know if it tastes good?
Yes, people have had it. Okay. We'll get to it.
It's good.
Stop asking your questions. So... its taste was described as...
Next sentence.
As, quote, lake cow bacon.
Lake cow bacon.
Okay, so if you made bacon out of cows, out of beef bacon.
Did you, wait, like or lake?
Lake.
Lake cow.
Yeah, you know how, like, some fish is, like, blubbery? Hippo's probably a little blubbery. I don't know, I've never had it. But yes, people eat hippo.
They just put three words together. Lake cow bacon.
It's 1910, bro.
We can't describe food as like mindful or some shit.
Wholesome.
Wholesome. We can't use big words.
Lake cow bacon. And that was described in the New York Times. The New York Times described it as lake cow bacon, Colin.
There's so many better words.
I know. Fuck. So, the Washington Post announced that hippo meat would be available in the U.S. in a matter of years. So we are hyping up the public about fucking hippo meat. This shit is weird, but people are behind it. We want hippo. Give us the hippo. Give us the hippo. Okay, so Broussard has this little congressional hearing, and he needs a couple expert witnesses on the topic. So he brings one geeky researcher that I don't know the name of and didn't bother to look up. He brings Burnham, our boy, and guess who else he brings?
Croissant.
Duquesne.
Yeah, that's his name.
Arch enemy Duquesne. Dun, dun, dun. So Broussard had no idea that Burnham and Duquesne knew about each other. And we're literally trying to kill each other.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So Burnham had reasoned that Europeans, this is Burnham's whole reasoning behind hippos, okay? Europeans had imported cows, sheep, poultry, and pigs to the U.S. and also noted that animals such as ostriches, because he grew up in, I'm sorry, this is important. He did not grow up in Milwaukee. He grew up in California because he grew up down the street from an ostrich farm. I hate this story. It's the dumbest thing I've literally ever read in my life. Yeah. So he argues that, well, Europeans brought pigs and cows and sheep, and there's already ostriches living here, and there's African camels living in the Southwest for some reason. I don't know why. Oh my God. But they've adapted. So that means we could definitely get hippos in the bayou. Okay? You hear me? Over there? Are you okay? Anyways, so that's Burnham's reasoning behind getting behind the whole fucking hippo bill, right? What's Duquesne's reasoning? Well, let me tell you. He was basically like the field researcher for Robert Broussard, right?
Duquesne's not American at all. Why does he give a rat's ass what happens with hippos in America?
We'll get to it.
Don't ask questions.
Don't ask questions. So Duquesne wrote a report called Why and How to Place Hippopotamus in the Louisiana Lowlands. He wrote a little book report on it. His conclusion, this shit is perfect for hippos. Of course it is. Of course it is. Jesus. Also, hippos taste good, apparently. I don't know. I wrote that in my notes again.
Tastes like meat.
Great. Tastes like lake cow bacon. So these three little knuckleheads started the New Food Supply Society to explore and promote their idea of hippo meat.
Okay.
In the United States. And on March 24th, 1910, Broussard introduced H.R. 23261.
Okay.
The hippo bill. So this wasn't just about hippos, though. Burnham wanted more.
Okay.
Burnham wanted more animals. He was already on board with the hippos thing, and he was helping out with the hippos thing, right? But he wanted more.
What else did he want?
30 varieties of edible antelope.
See, that doesn't seem like as bad of an idea.
Giraffes.
Giraffes, fuck that. But, like, the antelopes I can kind of get behind, because don't we already have antelope here, or are they from this guy?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like antelope is less invasive. I mean, they're still eating plants and stuff.
And
like,
grass.
Focus on the natural. Like, why don't we do this with buffalo? We have buffalo here.
I don't know.
Breed the buffalo.
AAAI. All animals are invasive.
Not buffalo. Buffalo have been here for, I assume, ever.
Well, hippos have been in Africa, like, forever.
Yes, but not here. Not in fucking Louisiana.
I know.
They haven't been, it's like, doing Mardi Gras.
Literally white men just being like, you know, what should we fuck up next?
What kind of meat do you want for dinner tomorrow?
He also...
And how can we get it here?
He wanted elephants, too. So, but the ivory thing was already going on, so that was kind of... We just wanted to mind our own business. So, the reason why Duquesne wanted to get involved with this and not fucking kill Burnham, and Burnham not kill Duquesne, they kind of like worked together on this, was because they were such like fierce rivals with each other and such fierce enemies with each other that they almost had this like mutual respect because they wanted the same thing.
Right.
AKA hippos to be eaten in America. And Duquesne had, I could literally do an entire fucking 6,000 part episode on Frederick Burnham and fucking Fritz Duquesne, because their lives are goddamn crazy. And it was so hard for me not to get caught up in this research. Like, it was so hard for me to just stick to hippos, which is crazy enough as it is.
Yeah.
But, like, Duquesne faked his identity so many times and got away with it and literally murdered so many people. He was, like, this, like, fearsome fucking guy in South Africa, right? And then a bunch of shit happened, and he basically got, like, blackballed from South Africa. Not really sure about the details. Like I said, I was trying not to get, like, caught up in his life. But he gets blackballed or, like, blacklisted from the Boer community, which ended up getting invaded by the British.
Could have been the whole thing of him trying to pretend to be a Briton.
Right.
A Briton.
A Briton. But the Brits end up invading and winning the war, the Boer War. So he gets, like, fucking blacklisted and moves to New York and becomes a writer, huh? And to, like, pay for his deeds, and because he was such an Africa expert, he was like, you know what? I'm going to give back to the community. I'm going to make sure we're all eating hippo.
Jesus fuck. So what happened? Did they
end up- Well, Colin, obviously we're not eating hippo now, right? We're not. We're not eating hippo. Or giraffe or antelope, because the hippo bill died. Would you like to know why the hippo bill died?
Because Du Croissant and the other guy killed each other?
No.
What happened?
Washington politics.
Da-da-da-da.
Franklin Roosevelt?
Franklin D. Roosevelt.
He was on board with the hippo thing. He was, like, super on board with the hippo thing.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, a presidential race or something coming up, and one of his...
He was training for his presidential race, yeah, his presidential marathon.
Yeah, to beat the carousel around the block. But he had some enemies in Congress, and the hippo bill ended up getting lumped into, like, some petty political shit.
Gotcha.
And then it literally died.
Love that.
And that is the story of three men and a hippo, or a bunch of hippos.
A bunch of hippos.
Yeah. So we almost ate hippo in America. And people were fucking just ready to go. Let's go down and get some late cow bacon.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah, that's really it. I, like, really had to shorten quite a bit of it, and... It took me forever to write and, like, structure, so I'm sorry if it's, like, crazy all over the place.
Oh, I love that.
But there was no better
painting
way.
Painting pictures, not timelines.
Right, and there's no better way to talk about all these silly little knuckleheads without literally spending 7,000 hours on it.
I feel that.
And sitting here for 7,000 hours.
I'm glad you did it how you did.
Thanks.
Wow.
Wow. Well, hippos.
I'm glad that hippo isn't on the McDonald's menu.
America, we don't have the meats. And it's also, we don't have hippo, so don't ask.
Do you have hippo?
I don't think so. Do you?
No.
Oh. Do you have any notes app thoughts?
I don't have any notes app thoughts. How about you?
Okay, this one is definitely geared more for the podcast. Instead of learning about and then making fun of something I know I don't like, I'll try to understand that thing I don't like, and then I'll make fun of it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Like, instead of being like, I don't know what that is, haha, I'm going to learn about it, and then I'm going to be like, look how fucking silly this is.
Yeah.
Look at it.
Yeah.
That's this entire podcast.
I love that.
Next one. I was driving home from work today, and I see this giant inflatable hot dog.
What?
With a little face, and he's standing up. And he's, like, right outside this brewery, right by my house. Okay?
Okay.
So, I'm, like, driving by, and I see this hot dog, and it's got his hand up.
Because hot dogs go in beer.
And it's waving.
Beer is just hot dog water.
And I see that the giant beer is just hot dog water beer. It's an IPA. I see that this giant inflatable hot dog is standing next to a food truck. So, I look at the food truck. Guess what the food truck was called? Steamy Wieners. Steamy Wieners, Colin.
That's pretty good.
Steamy Wieners.
Yay.
I love that.
That's pretty good.
Steamy Wieners. It's so funny. And the giant inflatable guy, like, for what? What's up?
So, Jake.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
After listening
fuck
to...
Fuck you for making me learn about electricity. Fuck you, Jake.
So, he taught us about the things that we didn't know, because he's that nerd on the Polar Express. that knows everything and wants to make it everyone's problem.
Yeah, dead behind the eyes and forcing knowledge.
He'll find out.
Dead behind the eyes and forcing knowledge on others.
Yeah.
His friends.
But I love him for it.
I love him too.
So apparently, I'm going to explain this. Jake explained this to me over the phone. So I'm just going to raw dog it and try to explain it. And I'm probably wrong.
I just want you to know I will not be explaining electricity. I did not watch the TikTok that he made.
Yes.
He made a long-ass TikTok about electricity.
I watched it.
And I didn't even watch the whole thing. I commented and said, Jake, I don't want this. And he said, get over it.
Well,
so I can't explain electricity, and I refuse.
So basically, with
my
pasta,
constitutional right.
If you put hard pasta, hard dehydrated pasta in water, eventually it would also turn goopy. It would also turn stringy and turn into like pasta you can eat. But what happens when you heat it up is it spreads the pasta molecules apart, which allows water to get in between the pasta molecules, making it stringy.
Floppy.
And this raises a new question.
Oh, boy.
Is all cooked pasta wet?
Colin.
Because technically it is, isn't it?
Is water wet? Is water wet?
Yes.
Oh, water's wet.
Unless there's just a single molecule.
Of water?
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Colin like, and I are just squinting at each other right now.
What makes something wet is the presence of liquid or water.
Yeah.
So if there's only one water molecule, it's not making itself wet. But if there's two, they make each other wet.
That's sexy.
I thought so. And then Jake also sent a follow-up because apparently Dawn dish soap uses chemicals that shrink water molecules.
Hmm.
And basically that makes it easier for the chemicals
for the
to get into the... I'm not even going to read the rest. Yep.
The Dawn dish soap makes
if you
it
put
easier.
Dish soap in your pasta water, you'll get hot dogs. Steamy hot dogs.
Steamy wieners.
Steamy wieners. And they'll taste like hippo meat. Oh, man. Well.
Sometimes I just.
Oh, we're in a basement. Thanks for tuning in. Catch us next week. What are we talking about? Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.